This podcast is supported by Understood Explains. As parents, we are often having to figure out things as we go, and that is very true for our children's education. And to help you out, I want to tell you about a podcast called Understood Explains. This season is hosted by teacher and special education expert Uliana Ortube, and she discusses all the things you'd want to know about individual education plans, or IEPs, what they are, why they're needed, who benefits from them, and what to expect when you have meetings with teachers. I could have really used this podcast when my son had an IEP for speech when he was six. I was overwhelmed trying to understand the process and what everything meant. The episode on Understood Explains, Does My Child Need an IEP, was the kind of info that would have really helped me get the most out of the educational support of the IEP for my son. And if you need that kind of support, I really recommend this podcast. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Welcome to Mom in Mind. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all. From personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Hi there, and welcome back to the Mom in Mind podcast, Behind the Sessions. I am your host, Dr. Kat. In this series of episodes on the Mom in Mind podcast, I really like to dig in to the topics that come up in therapy. Some of them are, you know, things that you yourself may feel or think of, and there are other things that come up that might be foreign to you or something that you don't experience. But what I really like about highlighting what comes up in therapy is that there's usually some part of somebody else's experience that we can relate to. And if we don't directly relate to it, we might know somebody else who can relate to that experience, or we're learning something about the human condition, about the human experience. And it is incredibly complex. We tend to oversimplify that, you know, if somebody's depressed, they should just be happy. Or if someone's anxious, they should just stop worrying. And it's kind of ridiculous. I understand where people are coming from most of the time. They don't want somebody else to suffer. But there are so many factors that go into who we are, why we are the way we are, why we respond to situations in certain ways. And I think it is beneficial to all of us to really honor that complexity and learn about how other people or people like you might be either experiencing life or coping with and dealing with things in a way that potentially could benefit you as well. One of the ways in which we are complex is how we talk to ourselves. In particular, what I see when talking with perinatal folks is how hard they are on themselves. And I'm talking about self-judgment, sometimes even self-hatred or self-loathing when it gets really, really dark. Just constantly on themselves about how they should be doing things differently, doing them better, knowing better. And that thought process in itself is very depressing. And if you're already dealing with depression, that might be happening in your thought process anyways, because of the nature of depression and how it changes how we think about ourselves. It could be impacting how you think of yourself. And what's more and more difficult is that sometimes when those thoughts, the things we think to ourselves about ourselves, are just in there kind of stewing and going through our mind, we tend to believe them. You know, how many times have you, let's say, like messed up on something or made a mistake and been able to immediately have full context of the reason you made the mistake? Like, oh, maybe it's because I was tired last night, or maybe mistakes just sometimes happen. Or, oh, I didn't have that piece of information that I needed to do it the way it should have been done, or XYZ. We don't come in with understanding. We usually come in with some kind of judgment. What I find in particular with perinatal folks, pregnancy, post-birth, postpartum, is there's an added layer of complexity here where you're also learning brand new things. You're learning a new human, how to take care of them, looking to figure out what their needs are, how you yourself are adjusting to the change. There are just so many other factors that go into why things are more difficult during this period of time, which is essentially what this whole entire podcast is about. But for today, I want to focus in on how we talk to ourselves and why we are so hard on ourselves. In therapy, when this comes up, and inevitably it comes up in every session, I don't think that there has been a person that I've spoken with on planet Earth, let alone in therapy, who doesn't have some struggle with how they talk to themselves sometimes. So the way it sounds, meaning like what people bring up in therapy is that, you know, I'm not doing a good enough job as a new mom or a new parent. I don't know what I'm doing. It seems like other people are doing it better. Am I messing my kid up? Am I, you know, making the right decisions for them? And some of those things are just really normal, reasonable questions to be asking yourself, as we do when we go through any new process. Whenever we are in a process of growth, new learning, trying to understand something different, we come up with these questions because it is new. We have a curiosity, like, is this the right way to do it? Is this the wrong way to do it? And that's fine, and all totally within normal limits of people's process. But what I'm talking about is the kind of thoughts that come along with also feeling really bad about yourself. And oftentimes those feelings are connected to some sort of shame or guilt, which we also talk a lot about on this podcast. So when I'm working with somebody to try and understand what's going on for them, why they are thinking these things about themselves, feeling these things about themselves, I often do a kind of a reflective exercise with them. I'm going to give an example of a story. So let's say it's a mom who wanted to be able to nurse their child, but for a number of reasons wasn't able to. And it's heartbreaking for them. They wanted to be able to nurse, but they can't. And so they're going to be formula feeding, and they have to choose a formula. They have to go through multiple different types of formula to choose the one that works for their child. And that's just like the premise of a situation. You can think to yourself of whatever your situation might be, times where you thought you weren't doing enough, a good enough job, or feeling really bad about some decision that you made.
This podcast is sponsored by Paired. One of the things I hear weekly is how clients feel distant or not as connected to their partners, and also how they'd like to feel heard and seen by their partners. So for all you partners out there, it might be time to try Paired. It's an app that helps couples connect in a meaningful way, especially for couples who either feel disconnected, don't have time to sit down together, or who are just wanting to keep the connection going. This app is great. My husband and I are on it, and one of the things I love are the games where I answer a set of fun or interesting questions, and then he does the same, and we see where our answers line up or are different. It's a really cool way of learning something new about him, even though we've been together over 20 years. And there are a bunch of other great questions geared towards connection and understanding and intimacy that, when you share your answers, can help you and your partner understand each other better. Share the love this Mother's Day by going to paired.com/mind to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. That's paired.com/mind to sign up today. Let's give the gift of connection this Mother's Day. A happier relationship starts here.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
So with that example, I gave you more or less the facts that they wanted to nurse, they couldn't, and they feel bad about it. So on paper, that might not be necessarily complex, but if you're talking about the emotional experience, it is very complex. There is a lot involved, including like feelings of responsibility, guilt, shame, that they should have done better, questioning themselves, like, what could I have done to make this work? Should I have had a different lactation counselor? Should I have tried, you know, different techniques or different supplements or you name it? So when we dig down a little bit into how that impacts this person, so how does it make you feel that you couldn't nurse? Well, I feel really bad. I feel like I'm not doing well enough for my baby. Okay, so we take that. And so what does it mean about you if you're not able to do this? Well, it means that I'm a failure. It means that I can't give my baby what they need and I'm not doing a good job of being a mom. So like that is a depth of emotional pain that is really hard to cope with. But when we reflect a little bit and I turn it on its head and I ask the mom in this scenario, if somebody told you this exact same story that it was happening to them, how would you think of them? And usually the answer that comes back is something related to being able to be kind and thoughtful and compassionate, and they would be able to understand that that mom was trying their best. That person did what they could and it just didn't pan out. There's some like objectivity. There's a little bit of distance from the heaviness and the emotional side of this issue, and they're able to have compassion more or less. Where it gets challenging is in the therapy process when we try to turn that inward. I say, okay, so how come? Why do they get that kind of compassionate response, but you can't, or you don't deserve that? Why do you feel like you don't deserve that for yourself? It's often very hard for people to tell me why they don't deserve it, but they will say things like, well, it's different for me. That's fine for other people, but it's not fine for me. And I'll ask why. Why do you think that's the case? And they'll say something like, well, I don't know, it just is. Or they say things like, again, like, I should do better, I should know better. And when we dig around a little bit, it's not just that. It's just not just that they should know better and do better. It's more about an internalized belief system that they learned early on in life about who they are, how they are in the world, and how they should be. And that's often very likely something that was learned in their family in childhood or even school, where kids, you know, are learning about the world and trying to understand themselves in it and might start internalizing messages that they're getting from the outside. Let's say, you know, difficult situations at school or really difficult situations at home. And I want to just put an asterisk here and just have a point of clarification. What I'm talking about today is the individual experience within a family system. But I also want to note that there are so many other factors that go into who we are and how we are in the world. Some of those are societal factors. They could be cultural, potentially religious factors, or other incidents in life or traumatic incidents, even that happened later on in life, in adulthood, that weren't necessarily in childhood. That on all of those things combined develop our inner world. That's the outer world experience is what can get internalized to develop into our internal process, our internal ideas about who we are. So going back to the individual experience in the family system, I've often found, and this isn't true across the board, but I've often found that people who have really, really rigid ideas about how they should be in the world came from family systems that put a ton of pressure on them. And I'll give a couple of examples. In particular, I find that within narcissistic family structures or family structures where one or both parents are very anxious, or there's an authoritarian style of parenting, like you do this or else type of parenting, or family systems where there's been abandonment, like where one or both parents have left, or when one of the parents has another type of like severe either a mental health condition or a personality disorder or something like that. I'm painting really broad strokes here, but just to make a point that when it feels very rigid, let's say this is you, you're resonating with this. If it feels very hard to give yourself the compassion that you would give to somebody else, that you are somehow different, that you don't deserve kindness or compassion, or that it's okay for everybody else to not know what they're doing or make mistakes, but you are supposed to know, you're supposed to do better. If we think back, for how many years have you been feeling that way and thinking that way about yourself? Usually, again, painting broad strokes here, usually it's something that has developed in childhood within a family system where you had to be very responsible, or where you were kind of left on your own to figure things out. There are other examples that fit into this, but I think those are two of the big highlight ones that I want to touch on. So we're talking about like children who had parents who were using substances or alcohol, where you were like left on your own. Or again, I'll give the example of like a narcissistic family structure where one parent might be quite overbearing and everything is about how they want things to go. So you can feel anywhere from powerless to fully responsible for everything in your life at a young age. So kids in family systems that are complex like that have to learn how to make it through. They have to figure out how to make things work, how to not get in trouble, how to stay out of the way in some scenarios, how to not be seen in other scenarios. And again, there's like way too many complexities to life to be able to go through all of the examples. But there are usually roots, and sometimes very, very deep roots, to how we think about ourselves and why we internally operate the way that we do, internally meaning in our thoughts and our thoughts and feelings. And if it feels very hard for you to have compassion for yourself, or to have flexibility even in thinking like, okay, it's okay for me to make mistakes, or have that kind of like grace or forgiveness for yourself, there could be some deeper emotional ties to this that happened, you know, a long time ago for some folks. And what happens for us is that, I'll explain it in this way, that sometimes when those thought processes and feeling processes feel very rigid or stuck, it's because there are maybe parts of us that didn't kind of develop past that point emotionally, or stayed stuck in that way because it was self-protective. There could have been a benefit to being hard on yourself. You know, kids don't really know how to verbalize or process what's going on in their environment. They're just in it. And they don't know necessarily that it's different than everybody else's experience until, you know, sometimes until they grow up and move away, or until they go to other people's houses and see how they live. Whatever environment you're in, you cope and adapt to be in that environment. And sometimes that includes being very hard on yourself internally. So when there's people's experiences are so complex and so varied, because there are many different aspects that are part of our lives that combine to make us our individual selves. But the thread that runs through a lot of things for people who have a harder time being compassionate for themselves, it's because of something that's been internalized from earlier on in life, that they need to be or behave a certain way in order to cope, stay safe, survive in some cases. So fast forward then to being an adult, having your child, and then bumping up against these feelings of not only one, I should be able to figure this out. What's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? But also now you have a child of your own. And this is for another episode, but man, there's a lot of stuff that comes up when you are having a kid and you yourself had a really difficult childhood. All kinds of stuff can come up for like review that you didn't necessarily think you were going to have to deal with. And that's just one of the other complexities of now being in this, let's say, postpartum time, having to try and figure out this new baby, having to try and figure out yourself. And if you want to, and you're willing to go to therapy and work on this stuff, is to try and relate to yourself in a different way. And that is a worthwhile project, honestly. And one of the things I love, love, love about therapy is supporting somebody through that process to get to a point. Sometimes it takes a while to get to the point where they can have just a little more softness with themselves, where there's just a little bit more compassion, or they can let go of some of the rigidity or harshness that they've held on to for so long. Because it was a great survival skill or coping skill for the time they developed it, it might not be anymore. It might not be a necessary coping strategy at this point. I would argue that it's harder to have that coping strategy when you're learning a new job of having a baby. We need that flexibility. We need that grace and forgiveness for ourselves. But like, we don't know what we're doing. Nobody really knows. We're all figuring this out. But what we do is when things are stressful, sometimes we revert back to our old ways because it's what's known. Even though it might feel terrible, it's what's most comfortable. Comfortable meaning it's what we know. And one of my whole goals for people in therapy is to be able to develop some of that for themselves, some of the compassion, some of the understanding, some of the like, it's okay, we make mistakes, some capacity to be able to give themselves what they could really freely give to other people, which is understanding, which is validation, which is that softness. That's what we need when we're going through big changes. And it gets really, really hard to give it to yourself.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
So that's why I want to call it out here, that this is a thing, and if this is something you're struggling with, if you resonate with any part of what I've been talking about, it might be worthwhile. It is worthwhile, but it might be time to look into getting your own support, to dig through some of this, weed these things out, put these coping strategies in their place and time back when you first learned them and for the reason you learned them, and move forward with different coping strategies that allow you to feel freer in your day-to-day life, to allow you to not be so constricted to having to be perfect and get it right all the time. That's not a thing. And we need to get rid of that just as a whole, which we talk about also a lot on this podcast, is this pressure for perfection. But to be able to move forward in your life with an understanding of why you might be that way with yourself, why you might be hard on yourself, and remember the context of the why, if it's from early childhood, if it's from some other trauma or relational trauma that you've experienced along the way. It's not just you. You are not born this way, so to speak. You are not born being hard on yourself. It's something that is oftentimes learned. There are normal processes in childhood where you get frustrated and with yourself, or you're frustrated with tasks and whatnot. And if you have an in-tune, relatively in-tune parent, you don't even need to be 100% in tune as a parent to be able to help your child cope with that and learn that mistakes are okay and that you don't have to be hard on yourself. So if you had that harsh environment growing up, or you necessarily didn't have a grown-up in your life to help you understand your feelings, you can do it now. There's still time. There's plenty of space for you to develop for yourself how you'd like to be with you. And it doesn't have to be how you learned how to be with you. It is okay to do that. You deserve to do that. You can have a better quality of life if that's something you're willing to invest in. And I just encourage everyone, you know, I love therapy. That's my bias. I'm going to be straight up with it. I think it's fantastic. And it's hard. It's hard to look at these things. It's hard to understand them, but it is so worthwhile so that you can move through this stuff and be freer in your life. So I hope this was supportive to you today. And if this is a new thing for you to be thinking about, I hope it's opened up some doors in your mind and possibilities for you that you can seek out healing. For those of you who are new to the podcast, please go to wherever you listen to your podcast and hit subscribe, because you subscribing to this podcast helps it stay up in rankings. It helps other people be able to find it. It also helps to keep this podcast going. Having you as a listener, having loyal listeners that come back, having people that share this podcast with other people is really the best way to keep this work for me going and to keep this podcast alive. It is so necessary that we share and continue to get this information out to people who need it so that they can know that they're not alone. Come and follow me anywhere on social at Mom and Mind, or visit the website momandmind.com or wellmindperinatal.com. Thank you so much for being here. Until next time. Please find the Mom and Mind podcast on momandmind.com or wellmindperinatal.com, where you can also find access to my free online mini course that is specifically designed for people experiencing anxiety in the postpartum period. Or you can learn more about the 3.5-hour self-paced course that I created just for managing postpartum stress. You can also connect with us on social media at Mom and Mind on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you for tuning in and learning more about perinatal mental health.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.